Around the world, the Spirit is moving and a voice is being heard. Welcome to the Voice of Evangelism with David Langford. You can write to the Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. We'll give you that address again at the close of today's broadcast. But here now is David Langford.
Hello, friends. David Langford here. We'd like to welcome you today. And we pray that the Word of God will inspire you, will touch you, will minister to you in some capacity. Thank you for joining us today. I want to say thank you for allowing us to come into your home, your place of business, wherever that you might be, and allowing us to come in and share from the Word of the Lord. I want to say thank you for your love, your prayers, and your support. I thank you for everything that you do for this ministry. I'm humbled of the element of confidence that you have in me, the measure of confidence that you may have in us, to be faithful at our watch, to bring an uncompromising message from God's Word on a weekly basis. In a few weeks, I'm going to start a new teaching on television about the coming judgment. I'm going to read today the entire chapter of Jeremiah chapter 5. I'll briefly make a few comments, but this is where the Lord has me right now. And of course, this will be very expeditious and done quickly, but I'm going to be teaching this in just a few weeks on television, and we will put the telecast up the following week on the YouTube channel. And so you're going to hear this, but on the radio program, YouTube and Blog Talk Radio, the next series we already shared with you would be the second coming of Christ and the harvest. We have done a lot of study there in Matthew chapter 13. And we're going to teach the parables here on the radio and YouTube. The second coming of Christ, the harvest, the end of the age, etc. But personally, right now, God has me in the fifth chapter of Jeremiah. I'm going to read that chapter. I think I'll just read the whole chapter, then I'll go back and make a few comments. I want you to get the magnitude, the gravity of this particular passage of Scripture. I feel this is where America, this is where we are as a nation. And thus, I just want to share from the Word of the Lord where I believe we are in America. Jeremiah chapter 5, beginning at verse 1. Run ye to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem, and see now and know, and seek in the broad places thereof, if ye can find a man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. And though they say, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them, but they have refused to receive correction. They have made their faces harder than a rock. They have refused to return. Therefore I said, surely these are poor. They are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. I will get me unto the great men, and will speak unto them, for they have known the way of the Lord, and the judgment of their God, but these have altogether broken the yoke, and burst the bonds. Wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Every one that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and have sworn by them that are no gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery and assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. They were as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? And shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy. But make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. They have belied the Lord and said, it is not he. Neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. And the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord God of hosts, because ye speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. Their quiver is an open sepulcher. They are all mighty men. They shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities, wherein thou trustest with the sword. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. And it shall come to pass when ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob, and publish it in Judah, saying, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. Fear ye not me, saith the Lord. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound by the sea, by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it, and though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it. But this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Neither say they in their heart, let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Your iniquities have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good from you. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait, as he that setteth snares. They set a trap, they catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore they are become great and waxen rich. They are waxen fat, they shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless, yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. The prophets prophesy falsely, and the priests bear rule by their means. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? What a very, very profound passage of Scripture. As God sought to deal with Israel prior to the Babylonian captivity, I just want to share from my heart where the Lord has me right now. And as I said, it's here in Jeremiah chapter 5. Let's just do a very quick exegesis through these scriptures. But again, I will be teaching this on television, warning America, warning our nation. And of course, you'll be able to see it the following week of each broadcast on our YouTube channel and platform. You'll see the same identical programs. I'm well aware that we're putting out a lot of information right now. I'm a very, very busy man. We just finished up with Justification by Faith. We're going to start the new series on the second coming of Christ, the end of the age, and the end time harvest. I'll be doing this Jeremiah chapter 5 on television. I'm writing newsletters concerning the judgment of God. I just feel God is trying to warn us that judgment is going to have her way. It's imminent. It is near. And I just don't see repentance, mainly because I don't see men preaching a message of repentance. We see here in chapter 5, verse 1, that Jeremiah runs to and fro through the streets of Jerusalem to see now and know and to seek in the broad places if he can find a man, meaning one man. That's what that phrase means. If ye can find a man or find one man, if there be any that executeth judgment, that seeketh the truth, and I will pardon it. You tie that into Genesis 18 and 19. Scary. Abraham started off with 50, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. Here with Jeremiah, he says, one man, just one man. What is required of that man? He executeth judgment. He seeketh the truth. And I will pardon the nation. It just showed you how corrupt Israel had become as a people. And though they say, verse 2, the Lord liveth, surely they swear falsely. They declare, oh, God is God. But they don't live right. They don't do right. So therefore it is hypocrisy at the close of the day because they swear falsely. Jeremiah says in verse 3, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon the truth? Now, that would better read, O Lord, are not thine eyes upon faithfulness? Faithfulness? Regrettably, this is the most faithless, unfaithful generation I personally have ever witnessed. They are faithless. And that was one of the questions in the New Testament, Luke 18:8. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Shall he find faith on the earth? See, he already said they swear falsely. God says his eyes are looking for the truth or looking for faithfulness. Thou hast stricken them, but they have not grieved. Thou hast consumed them. They have refused to receive correction. Just a little over 20 years ago, 9/11, the great national tragedy here in America, we have been stricken, but we don't grieve. Oh, the churches had a bump in church attendance for about 6 months. Then it went right back to the norm. Here's the problem in America right now. Here's the problem in Christendom. They refuse to receive correction. Don't you correct me, buddy. Don't you preach a message of correction. You know, correction is also about being educated and learning. See, when you correct something, remember in school, you know, the teacher gave you a mathematical question, you know, 3 or 15 divided by 3 equals what, 5? Maybe you put down 4. See, the correction was to help you understand your error. The American church today does not want to receive correction. When I decree, when I declare same-sex marriage is evil, it's out of hell and not of God. When I tell you there's no such thing as a transgender, they're either male or female, and you say, no, I'm not going to believe that, you refuse to receive correction. And the greater the refusal causes their faces to become harder, and their faces become as a rock, and they refuse to return, or they refuse to repent in believing the truth. They won't repent. Oh, transgenderism, that's how God did it. Same-sex marriage, that's how God did it. They refuse to receive correction. They refuse to return, meaning they refuse to repent. They're not going to repent. They're going to tell you and me we're wrong. Therefore, verse 4. Jeremiah 5:4. Therefore I said, surely these are poor, they are foolish, for they know not the way of the Lord, nor the judgment of their God. Jeremiah is saying they're impoverished. They're impoverished. They're poor. They're not well educated. And because they don't understand the word of God, they know not the way of the Lord. Here's the key, nor the judgment of their God. I just cannot understand how so many people don't want to believe that God would judge America. Let me tell you something. To whom much is given, much is required. This nation has had more than any other nation in the world, maybe other than England, Great Britain. Nor the judgment of their God. God is a God of judgment. And I hear all these prophecies about justice, justice, justice. You cannot have justice without judgment. Don't ever think it. Don't ever believe you can get justice in the land without having a measure of judgment. They don't know the judgment of their God. Verse 5. I will get me into the great men. I will speak to them, for they have known the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. But these altogether have broken the yoke and burst the bonds. In other words, they've broken the word of God. God's word is binding. God's word is demanding. But they have broken the yokes. They have broken the bonds of God's word in their lives. Even though they know the way of the Lord and the judgment of their God. I know that God is a God of judgment. He's a God of justice. He's a God of integrity. Nobody has divine character like God Almighty. So they disregard, they violate God's word. They desecrate God's word. They abuse God's word. And I'm not going to compromise. Nobody's going to talk me out of believing something different than what the word of the Lord says. You know, that Old Testament stuff, that's all judgment. We don't live under that. We live under grace, grace, grace. Go back, read Revelation chapter 2 and 3, and look at what God says in regards to judgment concerning the churches. I will blot your name out of the book of life. Is that not a judgment? Come on now. Let's get real here. When God says, you don't do right, I'll blot your name out of the book of life. Is that not a that's an eternal judgment. That's eternal damnation when God takes your name out of the book of life. Don't write me, call me, email me. I disagree with you. It ain't me you're disagreeing with. You're disagreeing with the word of the Lord. I'm nothing. I'm a peon. Do you know what a peon is? It's a Spanish term. A peon. I'm a peon. A peon is the man that takes the horses to the water trough. That's all I do. I just take you to the water trough. I'm a peon. I'm glad to be a peon. You say, well, they're worthless. No, they're valuable. They get the horse to the water. Now, they can't make the horse drink, but their job is to get them to the water. I can tell you the truth. I can bring you to the Word of God, but I can't make you ingest and assimilate and digest the Word of the Lord. I can't do that. Well, I think you're wrong. How many people do you think thought Jeremiah was wrong? I mean, Jeremiah's prophesying one thing. They're prophesying another thing. They're prophesying smooth things. Oh, it's going to be great. It's going to be grand. It's going to be glorious. Hananiah said, in 2 years, God will overthrow King Nebuchadnezzar. Jeremiah said, no, it's not going to happen. Hananiah took the yoke off of Jeremiah's neck, broke it, said, see there, going to break it. Jeremiah said, I hate to tell you this, not only you falsely prophesied, but you're going to be dead within these 2 years. And the same year, the Bible said, Hananiah died. Hananiah died. You can find all of that in the 28th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. It happened. It happened just like God said. False prophets were contending with the real prophet. Now, don't think for a moment I'm a prophet. I just embrace God's word and I believe it as God has spoken it. I believe it as God has spoken it. Verse 6, Jeremiah 5, verse 6, wherefore a lion out of the forest shall slay them, and a wolf of the evening shall spoil them. A leopard shall watch over their cities. Everyone that goeth out thence shall be torn in pieces, because their transgressions are many and their backslidings are increased. Does that not sound like America? Our sins, our backslidings are increased. God uses the phrase a lion, a leopard, and a wolf. He's describing the speed and the ferocity of how unyielding Babylon will be in seizing and destroying Jerusalem. Verse 7, how shall I pardon for this? How is God going to pardon America when America keeps going down the wrong road? You need to stand up. You need to stand up and be accounted. You need to stand up, parents, to these wicked school boards. You need to stand up. You need to proclaim the word of the Lord. Don't be a coward. Don't sit idly by. I know they say, don't get involved in politics. That's where we failed. Jesus said, set your light on a hill like Capitol Hill, that men can see the light and glorify your Father. There's no light on Capitol Hill. How shall I pardon thee for this? Thy children have forsaken me and sworn by them that are no gods. Since 9/11, it's been 20 years ago, over 20 years ago, we have another generation who knows nothing about godliness, knows nothing about righteousness, knows nothing about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. They tell you everything about everything else, but they don't know the Lord. And sworn by them that are no gods. Their allegiance is pledged to that which are not gods. When I had fed them to the full, they then committed adultery. They assembled themselves by troops in the harlots' houses. I'm going to make you mad, but that's okay. You'll get over it. They committed adultery. That's both physical and spiritual. James 4:4, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore shall be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. And assembled themselves by troops, by great numbers in the harlots' houses. A lot of the churches today are just whore houses. I said they're whore houses. All we want is your money. And assembled themselves by troops, by great numbers in the harlots' houses. Now, I know that just rents, tears, hurts some of you listening, but it's the truth. I'm not making this up. This is the word of the Lord. It was so grotesque. It was so far-reaching. Notice what he says in verse 8. They are as fed horses in the morning. Everyone neighed after his neighbor's wife. Neighed. Making a hoarse call, appeal. The scent of a horse, a female, that's in heat. Shall I not visit for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Again, to whom much is given, much is required. You see, this is strong meat. This is strong meat. I know it's strong. Some of you, I hope you don't get choked on the strength of the Word of God, the magnitude, the gravity, the heaviness of God's Word. God said, I'm going to avenge. Vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. I will repay. You see, remember, you've heard me say this, God, the books, Revelation 20, the books were open. What are those books? Those books are record books. Record books. God keeps a record. Romans 12 and 19. Vengeance is mine. I will repay, saith the Lord. Oh, what? That's old. You're in the Old Testament. Oh, but it says the same thing in the New, doesn't it? Vengeance is mine. I will repay. You see, the deeper you get into the Word, you're going to understand there are a lot of false prophets running around here that are in absolute error. They are in opposition to the truth of God's Word. This is New Testament. Romans 12, 19, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. Let me paraphrase that for you. God says, I'm going to kick your butt. I'm going to kick your butt. I can only speak those things which I have both seen and heard. Will I not be avenged on such a nation as this? Will I not punish them for their sins? Go ye up upon her walls and destroy. Make not a full end. Take away her battlements, for they are not the Lord's. God says, I'm going to bring you almost to absolute desolation, but not completely. See, we see that prophecy literal and more defining in the 29th chapter of the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. This is why now when he's talking about Nebuchadnezzar, the Babylonian Empire, destroying Jerusalem, he said, don't utterly, totally destroy it. Don't make a full end. Don't totally destroy it. Now listen to me. You jump from Jeremiah 5 to Jeremiah 29. He said, my thoughts toward you are good. You see, this is all for the good of America. This is all for the good. Why? God had rather us go through terrible times and save us than to go through blessed times and go to hell. But you see, they've lost their equilibrium. They've lost their balance in regards to God's Word. Every one of you should send this message out to everybody you know. You are to sit down right now and shoot it to all your friends and say, you need to listen to this. Listen to this. Thus saith the Lord, listen to this. Verse 11, Jeremiah 5:11. For the house of Israel and the house of Judah have dealt very treacherously against me, saith the Lord. It's treacherous. It's dangerous what we're doing, because we're doing it against God, Jehovah Elohim. They have belied. Verse 12, they have belied the Lord and said, it is not he, neither shall evil come upon us, neither shall we see sword nor famine. Belied. Deception, duplicity, chicanery, trickery. You don't trick God. You don't dupe God. This is not he. This is not going to be God's judgment. Listen, all God does is remove his hand and let the enemy come in. That's all he does. Verse 13, and the prophets shall become wind, and the word is not in them. Thus shall it be done unto them. I encourage you, I admonish you humbly, be careful to all the false prophecies. I will say this adamantly. I do believe there can be a move of God that you cannot fathom. We got to repent. We got to fast. We got to pray and seek the face of God. And it'll happen. But if we don't do that, it's not going to happen. Revival never came just because it just happened to come. People sought God for great spiritual awakenings. You have to seek God. I have a desire for a great awakening. I have to do my part. I have to pray. I have to fast. I have to seek his face. I have to pursue him if I'm going to see what I want to see. The prophets shall become wind. Again, people are chasing prophecy. Quit chasing prophecy. If prophecy comes, thank God. If it's a blessing, thank God. If it's a warning, thank God. If it's a reprimand, thank God. If it's a rebuke, thank God. But that's the problem with today's prophecies and prophets. They don't want a rebuke. You don't hear rebuke in their prophetic words, do you? Listen, you don't hear, thus saith the Lord, repent, repent. You're in sin. You're going to hell. You don't hear that. You don't hear those kind of prophecies. Why? They're not popular. So they prophesy, and the people love to have it so. I love verse 14. This is what got me into Jeremiah chapter 5, because I kept hearing this in my spirit weeks ago. Wherefore, thus saith the Lord, God of hosts, because you speak this word, behold, I will make my words in thy mouth fire, and this people wood, and it shall devour them. I kept hearing in my spirit, I'm going to make you like fire, and the people is wood. You say, you being pompous and arrogant? No. Because I'm telling you the truth. I'm telling you the truth. I'm not lying to you. I'm not misleading you. God forbid I ever in any way mislead anybody. God said, because you speak my word, you say, thus saith the Lord, because you do a true, thus saith the Lord, I'll make my words, God's word, in your mouth, Jeremiah. It'll be like fire, and the people will be like wood. It'll consume them. They can't stand it. Here's the peril. Verse 15. Lo, I will bring a nation upon you from far, O house of Israel, saith the Lord. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation, a nation whose language thou knowest not, neither understandest what they say. I've not shared this publicly, but I'm going to. I will bring a nation upon you from far. It is a mighty nation. Some weeks ago, China launched a hypersonic missile. We had no idea they had done it, didn't know what it was, didn't understand it. Before they did that, I was in prayer some time ago. And I was just had my eyes closed, and I'm pouring my heart out to God in prayer. And all of a sudden, now I'm not thinking about what I'm about to share with you. I was not pondering anything of that nature. It just came to me in prayer. And what I saw were Chinese news anchors, like the 6:30 Eastern Standard Time. Some of you, it may be 5:30, whatever time it is. The nightly news, CBS, NBC, ABC, the nightly news. And what I saw was Chinese news anchors. And they were speaking. I did not understand a word they were saying because it was Chinese. I couldn't understand it. Are you saying China is going to overtake America? I'm just telling you, I saw Chinese anchormen, news anchors, sharing the nightly news. They were speaking in Chinese. I did not understand a word they said. And that was the end of what I saw. It is a mighty nation. It is an ancient nation. Do you think China is an old, ancient nation? A nation whose language thou knowest not? Most of you listening to me, probably everyone today listening, you don't understand Chinese. Neither understandest what they say. I couldn't understand a word this Chinese news anchorman was saying. I couldn't understand a word. Just gibberish to me. Are you saying we're going to be overrun by China? Make your decision. To whom much is given, much is required. If this nation does not repent, we're headed for great, great danger. Their quiver is as an open sepulcher. They are mighty men. What does that mean? A quiver holds arrows. They have many arrows. Many arrows. They have weaponry that we don't have. Their quiver is like an open sepulcher, wide open cave. Full of weapons. They shall eat up thine harvest and thy bread, which thy sons and thy daughters should eat. Should eat. Should be for our children. But the nation, another nation gets it. They shall eat up thy flocks and thine herds. They shall eat up thy vines and thy fig trees. They shall impoverish thy fenced cities wherein thou trustest with the sword. Simply put, cities will be overrun. Cities will be overrun. Nevertheless, in those days, saith the Lord, I will not make a full end with you. Again, God says three times in Jeremiah chapter 5, I'll not utterly, completely destroy you. I'll leave a remnant. And it shall come to pass, when ye shall say, wherefore doth the Lord our God all these things unto us? Then shalt thou answer them, like as ye have forsaken me and served strange gods in your land, so shall ye serve strangers in a land that is not yours. God is saying to Israel, you've pledged your allegiance to false gods, false deity, false majesty. You've served them. See, if you don't serve God, you're serving the devil. Remember Matthew 6:24, no man can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. If you're not serving God, you're serving the devil. And he says, if you serve the devil, you will serve strangers in a land that is not yours. Declare this in the house of Jacob and publish it in Judah. Tell them. Publish it. Tell them. Isaiah 58:1. Cry aloud. Spare not. Lift up thy voice like a trumpet. Show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their iniquities. Show them. Show them. Declare this. Verse 21, hear now this, O foolish people, and without understanding, which have eyes and see not, which have ears and hear not. I think I heard that said in the New Testament. Did I hear Jesus say that in the New Testament? I believe I did. Matthew 13:15. For this people's heart is waxed gross, their ears are dull of hearing, and their eyes they have closed, lest at any time they should see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and should understand with their heart, and should be converted, and I should heal them. Jeremiah 5:21. Hear now this, O foolish people. Romans 1:22. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools. O foolish people and without understanding. Is that not what Jesus said there in Matthew 13:15? And hear with their ears and should understand with their heart? Oh, that's New Testament. You see, when people tell you there's no judgment in the New Testament, they're misleading you. Get angry, get mad. I'm trying to bring you a balanced dietary program of God's Word and show you all the counsel of God the best I can as a mortal man. Verse 22, Jeremiah 5:22. Fear ye not me? Do you not fear me? God says, do you not fear me? Proverbs 1:7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Romans 3:18. So let's go to the New Testament. Romans 3:18. There is no fear of God before their eyes. You're not getting a balanced message, folks. You're getting an imbalanced, unbalanced message. It's out of kilter. It's wobbling. The message is a wobbling message. It's not strong and firm. Why? Because it's false. It's false. Fear ye not me? Don't you fear me, says God. Romans 3:18. There's no fear of God before their eyes. Will ye not tremble at my presence, which have placed the sand for the bound of the sea by a perpetual decree, that it cannot pass it? That though the waves thereof toss themselves, yet can they not prevail? Though they roar, yet can they not pass over it? Oh, the hurricanes, the typhoons, they try. But after they blow all their wind, they cannot cross the seashore where God has placed all of this sand. You know, I was thinking years ago, can you imagine if the seashore was like a creek, mud. The beach, the seashore would be so dirty, nasty, but God puts sand there and you don't track it in like you do mud. The genius of God again at work. Verse 23, but this people hath a revolting and a rebellious heart. They are revolted and gone. Rebellion. Rebellion. We are a rebellious nation in every sense of the word. Isaiah 63:10, but they rebelled and vexed his Holy Spirit. Therefore was he turned to be their enemy, and he fought against them. Now God does not do the literal fighting. He just brings judgment through a nation, an angel, or whatever. Verse 24, neither say they in their heart, Let us now fear the Lord our God, that giveth rain, both the former and the latter, in his season. He reserveth unto us the appointed weeks of the harvest. Don't you realize every good, every perfect gift comes from the Father above, in whom there is no variableness, and neither is there shadow of turning? God, everything that this nation has been a blessing from God. But look at what's taking place around the world. All the volcano eruptions, Isaiah 5 and 14, therefore hell hath enlarged herself and opened her mouth without measure. Is all this lava coming out because God is making room for the hordes that are going to hell? I don't know. It's just a question. Therefore hell hath enlarged herself. Verse 25, Jeremiah 5:25. Your iniquities, your sins have turned away these things, and your sins have withholden good things from you. You see, you can't be blessed when you live in sin. God cannot bless sin. God cannot prosper a nation when it lives in sin. Look at what's happened to us in the last year. Look at us. We've not seen nothing yet. Nothing yet. Evil leadership in this nation. Evil leadership in America. God has shed his grace on thee. From the mountains to the prairies. But things, my friend, are about to change. For among my people are found wicked men. They lay wait. As he that setteth snares, they set a trap, they catch men. They catch men. Why do the wicked catch men? To destroy and damn their souls. Where are these false prophets found? Among my people are found wicked men. You see, I am not to tolerate wickedness. You are not to tolerate wickedness. You are not to tolerate unrighteousness and vile and evilness in this nation, but yet we do. Yet we do. What one generation tolerates, the next generation will embrace. Verse 27. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and waxen rich. Their chicken coop is full of birds. Let's see. Revelation 18, verse 2. And he cried mightily with a strong voice, saying, Babylon the great is fallen, and has become the habitation of devils, and the hold of every foul spirit, and the cage of every unclean and hateful bird. America is fallen, and thus because we are fallen, we have failed from God's grace. We have failed from righteousness to wickedness. Now every filth and immoral and debased and degraded sin that can be imagined or conceived has taken hold of this nation. Verse 28, they are waxen fat. They shine, yea, they overpass the deeds of the wicked. They judge not the cause of the fatherless. Yet they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. In other words, you just can't get justice in the land, and evil men who are in the place of authority glorify their power in wickedness, like Merrick Garland, the United States Attorney General, and seeking to destroy parents who are protesting the filth and the vulgarity that they're trying to put in the curriculum to bring into the schools to teach little children. What in God's name does a child need to understand about anal sex? You perverts, you disgusting perverts, you take away the innocence of a child and you pervert their mind. Yea, they prosper, and the right of the needy do they not judge. They should not be doing this. And the attorney general should say it's wrong, it's evil. But he's a part of it. And to think, Obama, Bayrak, insane. Bayrak, insane, Obama wanted him to have a seat on the Supreme Court. Verse 29. Shall I not judge for these things, saith the Lord? Shall not my soul be avenged on such a nation as this? Remember, to whom much is given, much is required. A wonderful and horrible thing is committed in the land. Now, that word wonderful there doesn't mean beautiful, wonderful, great. No, it's going to be so heinous, you're going to be astonished. You're not going to believe it. You're not going to believe it. And horrible thing. Wonderful and horrible. It's going to be an astonishing, horrendous, horrible thing in the land. Verse 31, the last verse. The prophets prophesy falsely. I'm telling you, the land is full of false prophets. The priests bear rule. The priests, they take into their hands the money, the bribes. They're unjust. They're unjust. And they bear rule by their means. Not by the word of God, but by their own edicts, by their own dictates. And my people love to have it so. And what will ye do in the end thereof? You see, when you preach a compromised message, unrighteousness flourishes, wickedness flourishes, sin becomes rampant in the land. This is why here we preach it. We even have t-shirts preaching an uncompromising message from the Word of God. What you have in the land of America is a compromised, watered-down, polluted message. What's being preached today is a shame and disgrace in the eyes of God, and the people love to have it so. Well, that's what we want. Don't preach harsh. Don't preach hellfire and damnation. Don't preach hellfire and brimstone. Don't say things like that. Don't talk about fornication. If you're a fornicator and you're going to church and the pastor never says one word about fornication, his blood, he's going to have on his hands the blood of those who are fornicating because they wouldn't say anything. A preacher that won't preach against sin doesn't care one bit about your soul. I said a preacher that will not preach against sin, he does not give a hoot about your soul and where you're going to spend eternity. He just wants your wallet. He just wants your money. He just wants your pocketbook. That's why we don't talk about money. I'm not going to be in that cesspool of sin and wickedness and the love of money. The love of money is the root of all evil. Why won't you cry aloud, sir, from your pulpit against adultery, fornication, drunkenness, lying, shacking up, watching filthy movies? Why don't you talk about those things? Look at the things Jeremiah addressed in this fifth chapter. Now, they didn't have television. They didn't have Netflix or HBO or Showtime or Cinemax or all that filth. But he did say, they run to the harlots' houses like a troop, troops of soldiers. They were into the whoredom and the idolatry and the harlotry. And that was the profound words of Jeremiah, Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 3. Therefore the showers have been withholden. There hath been no latter rain, and thou hast a whore's forehead that refusest to be ashamed. A whore should be ashamed of herself, that she would parade around, dress like she dresses, do what she does, and you know why she does it? You know why she does it? She does it for money. More tricks, more money. That's the harlotry that's in the church. Now, I know that's hard. Some of you have a hard time listening to things like this. But I'm not going to water it down for you. I'm not going to patty cake it for you, because I have a responsibility. As a matter of fact, all God's called men, anointed, have a responsibility to preach uncompromisingly. We know it'll get you in trouble. Look at the times Peter, James, and John, and Paul were arrested. Look at John the Baptist. He was arrested, put in prison, beheaded. Oh, we're under grace, though. Don't worry. I am worried. I am concerned. Because we're a backslidden nation. And if it has anything to do with God, we don't want it. We don't want it. We're being destroyed. China has brought out our congressmen, companies. Look at the state of this nation, the shortages, the inflation. What's going on? We're becoming more wicked. You're going to reap what you sow. Hosea said, you've sown to the wind. You're going to reap the whirlwind. I ran through this fifth chapter very, very quickly. But I will teach it on television in the coming days and will exegete it more thoroughly. Why? People need to hear the truth. I seek not fame or fortune or to be embraced. I seek God. And I want to preach what God lays on my heart. I want to preach what God lays on my heart. And I believe if I pray and I stay immersed in His Word, I will have the mind of God and will decree and declare God's heart. Any man, woman, boy, or girl that goes into the prayer chamber and prostrates themselves before God will come out with God's heart. It won't be about money. It'll be about repentance, getting right with God. God bless you. I'll see you Monday in the Lord. Have a great week. Thank you for your love, your prayers, and your support for this ministry. I know God will bless that which you do in the kingdom of God.
The Voice of Evangelism with David Langford is brought to you by the faithful listeners and supporters throughout America. If you're looking for an uncompromising message, we invite you to tune in each week to The Voice of Evangelism. For more information, write to The Voice of Evangelism at P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020. That's P.O. Box 502, Kayser, North Carolina, 28020.